Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf lamid, and we are 28 lines from the bottom of daf chof tes amid beis. So the Gemara discussed primarily on daf chof tes, there was some digression, nachash akadmoini, sugis regarding mesis, avodah zarah, etc. But the primary topic of daf chof tes was the idea of Oidisa. Hoidas Baldin Kimeya Edom Dami. So we're all familiar with the concept that if Reuven goes over to Shimon and Reuven tells Shimon, I owe you money, given certain parameters, Reuven will now owe Shimon money. And even if there are no witnesses that ever saw anything happen that would be the background for why Reuven may owe Shimon money. Nobody ever saw a loan take place. No one ever saw gzeilois, chavalois. But this in and of itself, that Reuven was meida, he said that he owes Shimon money, that creates a hischaivus. Reuven now owes Shimon money. If he does so in front of Edom, the Edom can go to Bezdin. Bezdin can enforce Reuven's obligation to go now and pay Shimon. Stating that, we saw in the Gemara, not every time that a person's moida and he says that I owe you money, do we say that it constitutes a real haida? Because in most cases, the person could always come with some sort of argument. He could say, I told you I owe you money, Meshatani Bach, you said I owe you money. To me, it was ridiculous. So, your question was ridiculous. I gave you a ridiculous answer. Mishatani bach, I was playing with you. I was messing with you. I don't owe you money. The Gemara said a svar of Adam Asui, Shaloi Laspias Atzmai. Sometimes a person doesn't want to give off the reputation that he's doing well for whatever reason. So a person may say that I owe this one money, I owe that one money, I have this chayv, I have that chayv, not because it's a real chayv, but simply because he doesn't want to give off the impression that he's really doing well. So it's for that reason, it's not every time that a person is moida, that he owes somebody money, that it actually constitutes haida. The rule of thumb that the Gemara said was, is that if he does so in front of Edom, and he turns to the Edom and he tells them, Atam Edai, I want you to bear witness to what I'm about to say, in that case, it creates a certain erenskeit, a certain seriousness to the Haidah. There you have this halacha of Oidisa. Either way, the Gemara is going to discuss additional halachas regarding a Oidisa, regarding a Haidah. Says the Gemara, Haidah b'fnei shnayim, if somebody was moida that he owes somebody else money, and he did so in front of two people. V'kanu miyadai, and not only that, they drank to it. They made a kinyan. So Reuven goes to Shimon, he says, I owe you $1,000, and there's some sort of kinyan, the proverbial yarmulke, chalipin, whatever it was. They did some sort of kinyan to effectuate this obligation. So the halacha is kaisvin. These edim, or the person that Reuven said he owes money to, in our story, Shimon, has a right to sit down and document. He could write a shtar saying that Reuven said he owes me money. The imlav, if he they didn't make a kinyan in Kaisa. The halach is, you can't write the shtar. Now, if Reuven is okay with writing the shtar, of course he could write a shtar. Two people could agree to do whatever they want. But in a case where Reuven was not okay, he didn't give consent to write the shtar, could Shimon force his hand to write a shtar or not? If there was a kinyan, yes. If there wasn't a kinyan, no. But that's only if the haidol was only in front of two people. Bifnei shloish, if however it happened in front of three people, v'loi konu miyadai, even if there's no kinyan, what's the halacha? Rav Amar, Rav says koisvin. Rav Asi says ain't koisvin. Rav says koisvin because once you do it in front of three people aren't just Aden, three people is a bezdin. Bezdin, hefker, bezdin, hefker. So bezdin has a right to manipulate choshen mishpat if they deem necessary. So bezdin could say that even though the one that was moida, Reuven, never authorized us to write a shtar, but we have a certain power that we can ourselves grant authorization for the shtar to be written. So if it's in front of two, you don't have the koich of bezdin. Then if there was a kinyan koisvin, if not in koisvin. If it was in front of three, there it's a machlokes amira. Rav said koisvin because three is bezdin, hefker bezdin hefker. Rav Asi says even in front of three in koisvin. So the Gemara have a uvda. There was a story of chashli Rav lahad Rav Asi where such a shiloh was born in front of Rav, and even though Rav said koisvin, he was a machmer like Rav Asi. He said that even though it was done in front of three, and three is a bezdin and hefker bezdin hefker, being that there was no kinyan, he didn't allow this hoidah to be documented in the shtar. Rav Adi Bar Ahava said it depends. Sometimes if someone's made in front of three people without a kinyan, we will force the person to write a shtar. Meaning, if Shimon wants the shtar written, the shtar will be written. And sometimes loikas fina. We said it's machloikas Rav and Rav Asi. Rav Adi Bar Ahava said it depends. What does it depend on? Knifi v'yosvi loikas fina. If there were three people sitting down, Shimon was there as well, and Reuven went to Shimon. He says, "I owe you $1,000." So even though it was done in front of Shloisha, loikasvina kanfinu iyu. If, however, Reuven and Shimon were sitting together, and Reuven says, "I'm about to tell you something. I have some good news for you. You're going to be really happy." But one second, and he goes, he calls three people in, and he sits them down, and then he's moida kasvina. What's the svara? If the three people were punk there, so we assume that he wasn't in his mind being moida in front of Beis Din. He was just being moida in front of the three people that happened to be there. If he called three people in, so now it looks like he's convening a Beis Din. That gives them the power of Beis Din. Now you have Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. With Halacha would be Kasvinan, even if Shimon himself never consented to it. Rabbi said, "Afilu can't finu iu like Kasvinan." Even if Reuven would call three people in and sit them down and then be moida, still you wouldn't be able to write it. Ad amar luhevo laidaini. He would have to talk to them, look them in the eye, and say, "I want you to be dayanim." So just because he called three people in from the street and was made in front of them, that in and of itself is not enough. It doesn't constitute. It doesn't give us umdana de muchach, that level clarity that he meant them to be a best. Thus, loikasvinon. If he told them, hevola daini, okay, now there's nothing to debate anymore. He clearly wants them to be dayanim. Mar Rav Ashi Amar, it's not true. Afilu Amar Hevelo Daini. Even if he told them clearly, "I want you to be dayanim," like Kasvinon, still the halacha is that they don't have the power of Beis Din, and without a kinyan, you would not be able to write this Oidisa in a document without the consent of Reuven. Ad the Kavi Duchta the Sholchi Umezamni Le Medina. The only time three people have the power of a Beis Din is if they act like a Beis Din. Meaning they convene, and they write a shtar hazmana, they require someone to walk in, they act, they put on the robes, the fancy hat. If they act like a Beis Din, then they have a koich of a Beis Din. But just because I invite three people, and I even tell them, hevola daini, doesn't mean they're a Beis Din. So if they're a Beis Din, kasvina. If they're not a Beis Din, like kasvina. More halachas regarding Odisa. Says the Gemara, that this halacha that we just said, that the only time kosvin, that is if there's a kinyan, or maybe in front of three, but if it's three, there would have to be a real Beis Din. That's if we're dealing with metaltalin. The Hidah was, Reuven said, "I owe you metaltalin that's worth $1,000. What about karka, says the Gemara, is karka different or is karka not different? Meaning it's no different than metaltalin. And just like metaltalin, you would not be able to force the Odisa unless there was a kinyan. Karka is the same thing. It doesn't matter if the obligation that Reuven is suggesting is an obligation of metaltalin, or if the obligation is a obligation of karka. Rav Zutra said, koisvin. No, karka is different, so that although by metaltalin ain't koisvin without a kinyan, unless you have a real Beis Din, when it comes to karka, it's koisvin even without a kinyan, even if it was only done b'fnei shnayim, the hilchas, so what's the halacha? Koisvin. Ravin iklu lim dahari, amalei, rav di mitrafuna mitamhari ravino, metaltalin v'isma be'inahumai. What about metaltalin, but it's be'en? Meaning, we said a halacha that there's a chiluk, there's a distinction between karka and metaltalin. What about metaltalin that's right here? Meaning, is the reason karka and metaltalin is different because karka, you know where it is, karka is nixi deloy naidi, it doesn't go anywhere. Metaltalin could be anywhere. So that if there's metaltalin and it's in front of us right now, maybe it is treated with regards to this halacha like karka, or maybe not, says the Gemara, Amalei told him, kimekarki dami. We look at it as karka. That's what Ravina said. Rav Ashi said, kimen de mechasri guvaino loy. Metaltalin is never treated like karka. Even if it's right here, the reason is because it's here now, but it cannot be here tomorrow. Also, you have to get it. There's a concept of being moitzi mechaveri when it comes to karka. Karka doesn't go anywhere. It's much easier to collect karka than it is metaltalin, even if the metaltalin's here right now. And it's for that reason karka and metaltalin will never be treated the same with regards to this halacha, even if the metaltalin is here. Another halacha. So we said now, in most cases, the only time you can write a shtar edisa, the only time you could document this Aydaz Baldin is if the one that was Maida consented to it, if he was okay with it. But if not, you wouldn't be able to. So there was a Shtar Edisa, and it didn't say anywhere in the Shtar Edisa that the one that was Maida, in our story, Reuven, gave permission for this Shtar to be written. And the Chachamim started questioning whether the Shtar was a Kasher Shtar or not. Because if the Shtar was written without the consent of the Maida, given the parameters that we mentioned earlier, it could be a pasul shtar. So the Gemara says, Abaye v'Rava d'Amit Ravayu, Abaye v'Rava, both heard this shayla, and they said the same exact halacha. I know the Reish Lakish. I think the Tzushta was Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said, Chazaka, you know, Edom Chesman al Ashtar. El came Nasa Gadol. Reish Lakish said that if you see a star and you start questioning the makna in the star, the coin in the star, was he a katan or was he a gadol? If the star was signed by two kosher Edom, there's a Chazaka that the star is a kosher star. Because Edom probably wouldn't sign on the star unless they verified the details of the transaction and made sure that this is a kosher transaction. So even though they don't know if the makna, let's say, was bar mitzvah, or maybe he was 6 years old, they have no idea. But if they signed on it, presumably they did their due diligence, so that for us, we could be comfortable, it must be a kosher star. So Abaya and Rava, who often argue, here, Amri Travayu, they both agreed that just like Reish Lakish said, there's a chazaka. So too, with regards to the shtar edisa, there's a chazaka. The ein ha'edim chesman al ashtar elim kein omar lana kisvu v'chismu v'abale. There must have been authorization granted by Reuven. But the Gemara says maskal rapapi v'tei mirav v'nebrei of Yeshua. But other Amiram weren't so happy because they said miya kamidi dan nan lo yadinon v'safri debedino yadi b'shloim the halacha that a transaction requires a gadol. Everybody knows that. The Edom know that. So presumably when they sat down and they signed, they verified to make sure that this was a kosher transaction. But this halacha, that a shtar edisa can only be written if Reuven, the one that's being moida, is okay with it, is not something everybody knows. As a matter of fact, Rapapi said, I know a lot of Talmidei Chachamim, a lot of yeshiva guys don't even know this halacha. So if yeshiva guys don't know the halacha, presumably the seifrim don't know the halacha, the edim don't know the halacha, so how could you have the chazaka? Chazaka would be an ed is not just going to sign on a transaction, he's going to verify the details. Okay, so if he knows the halachas, he knows what to verify, and it's only then that he's going to sign. But he was arguing that this is halacha I don't think everybody knows. So if not everybody knows it, bishloima, if it says it, okay, so it says it, we know it's kosher. But if it doesn't say that the moida was okay with the shtar being written, we should assume that everybody involved in this transaction knew the halacha, they verified it, so that despite the fact that it's not written in the shtar, it's kosher, the halacha that you can't sell something if you're not bar mitzvah, everybody knows. But the halacha that you can't write a shtar edisa without the consent of the moida, that's a complicated halacha. That's tucked away here in Perek Zebair. Not everybody necessarily knows that halacha. So I don't know if you could rely on the chazaka. Says the Gemara, Abaye Barava said, no, let's conduct an experiment. Let's take a survey. Let's find out. So, little Lucifer, they go. Rabbi went and he asked his scribes. The Yadi, they all knew the halacha. The Safi, they asked Rava's scribes. The Yadi, they all knew the halacha. Meaning, it was something that people knew. It was the halacha that people knew. And being that people knew this halacha, what comes to mind is getting that beis on the beis. Stam Safri, the Daini, Migmer Gmiri. Right, the Gemara questions whether the Seifrim in Medina Sayam, did they know the halacha that again has to be written Lishma? Nah, and the Gemara said, Stam Safri, the Daini, which Tosfos says is Ruba the Ruba. Right, even Rameir, the Schaish, this is more than that, more than a rive. This is a ruba de ruba. This would be being chayesh lemiyuta de miyuta. The seifrim, they knew their halachas. They knew more than you would expect them to have known. They even knew this halacha. Here, this another halacha. We're going to get this stuff because they tuchrim piskim ibecholishni de beidino. So that all the fluffy language that a good document has, but so it looks like it was prepared in a basta. The problem is there were two signatures on the bottom, and we know dine mamunis. Now, had it said that when we convened we were three, but now one of them isn't alive anymore because Nebuch, one of them died or for whatever reason he never signed on it, okay, then it would be okay. We would know from reading the shtar that there were three. It's only when it came to the signature that there were two. But it didn't say that either. So the question was, should we assume that this was prepared by a proper Bezdin? Or it wasn't prepared by a proper Bezdin. On the one hand, it has all the fancy language. But then again, maybe someone just got the language from somewhere. It was forged. Or even if it was prepared by a Bezdin, it was a Apostle Bezdin. Because Lamaitza, you only have two signatures. You don't have three signatures. Says the Gemara, Sof Rabbeinu Lameima, Hainad Reish Lakish. Rabbeinu thought this is again Reish Lakish. Same idea. Chazoko eino edem chaysman al ashtar. Elam kein nasa gadol. Chazoko eino edem chaysman al ashtar. Like Abai Verova said, Elim kein omra lona kisvu v'chismu v'havula. So to over here, Edom aren't going to sign on a shtar unless the Edisa which needs to be prepared by a bezdin, was prepared by a kosher bezdin, and a kosher bezdin is three. But the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Nosson Bar Ami, Hacha Mina Mishmei De Rava." I'll tell you what I heard from Rava. Rava said you can't shtal through Reish Lakish Zalach over here because Kolki Aygavno Chayshina on the bezdin Toyin. We're concerned that maybe these people thought that a kosher bezdin doesn't require three. A kosher bezdin is two. It's true. Dinim Amunas Beshloisha. Maybe they didn't know Dinim Amunas Beshloisha. They thought that two would be kosher. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, but he kosav ba beidino su lo itzarech. But if it says the words bezdin in the shtar, then we could for sure assume that there were three. Because even people that think that two are kosher, they don't think two is a bezdin. Nobody thinks two is a bezdin. Meaning the bezdin toyin didn't forget this mishnah Dinim Amunas Beshloisha. They know a bezdin that can pass Kedine Mominus is a Bezdin Shal Shloisha. There's no such thing as a Bezdin that's less than Shloisha. They just may think that two people could pass Kedine Mominus. You don't need a Bezdin. You don't even need the Bezdin Shal Shloisha. Like we had the Halacha of Yochid Mumcha could pass Kedine, maybe. So they may think that two could pass Kedine, but that it should be a Bezdin not. And if it says the words Bezdin, then we assume that for sure this is. But the Gemara says, Vidoma Bezdin Chatzafu. Maybe it says Bezdin because two could be a Bezdin. Now it's a special type of Bezdin. It's a Bezdin Chatzuf. Dama Shmuel, Shnaim Shadonu Dinayin. Shmuel said that if two Dayanim pass, asking it to din, El Shanikru Bezin Chatz. The Gemara says, the Kasa Bey, Dina de Rabbana Ashi. It didn't just say that it was prepared in a bezin. It said it was prepared in Rav Ashi's bezin. Rav Ashi says Rav Ashi's bezin's lav dafka. The point is, it was prepared in a chashav bezin. It was in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's bezin. Would be the same thing. It was prepared in a real chashav bezin. They know that the halacha is not like Shmuel, and the halacha is not that shnayim shedonu dinei and din el shenikru bezdin chatzah, but rather a bezdin has to be three. If it says bezdin and it's beidina d'rabbana ashi for short, but the Gemara says, how do you know? V'domer rabbana d'vei rav ashi, Shmuel sfirle. Shmuel said it. Shmuel's the gadol hadar. Maybe they held like Shmuel. The Gemara says, d'chsiv bei v'om alon rav ashi. Rav ashi, Chaim Kanievsky himself said it. If he himself said it, he for sure is not making that mistake. Either way, this concludes the oidisa part of the daf. So before we go right there, and the Gemara gets into a very interesting brisa, just one aura. So the Gemara was discussing an oidisa. When Reuven tells Shimon, I owe you money, can we now get it in writing or not? So if Reuven consents, of course he can get it in writing. But if Reuven doesn't consent, Shimon can't force Reuven, or Shimon can't just go to a local bezdin and say, listen, somebody was moider. He was moider in front of Edom. Here are the Edom right now. I want a shtar so that one day, in case my Edom go to Medina Sayam, or they're not alive anymore, I'll be able to be teveim to bezdin. You can't do that. If he consents, good. If not, not, says the Gemara. That's only true if there was no kinyan. But let's say at the time that Reuven went, he was moider to Shimon. They made a kinyan. They drank l'chaim to it. They did something. There was a chalipin. That kinyan effectuates the hoidah to the point that now you can force the ksav. The question is, what kind of kinyan is this? What's the kinyan? You know, when you think of kinyanim, ordinarily, you think of kinyanim in terms of mekach u'memkar, in terms of matanis, kedushin's a kinyan, gerushin maybe. You think of it in the terms of a transaction taking place. So if I want to sell something to you, the fact that we agreed to go forward with something, that doesn't constitute the transaction. The transaction happens when you make a kinyan. Whether it's meshicha, whether it's hagbah, whether it's chalipin, whether it's kesef shtar chazaka, whatever exactly the kinyan is. Kinyan is when you're trying to transfer bailus. That's when you make a kinyan. Over here there was no transfer of bailus. All there was a hischaivus. The hischaivus happens, pepet. I owe you money. That's the hischaivus. What exactly is this kinyan taking place? And the truth is you find such kinyanim in many places in Shas, where there's a kinyan of some sorts taking place, where it's not really creating any transfer of bailus. So what then is the kinyan? So if you take a look at the Rishonim say that the purpose of the kinyan was to create a certain seriousness. Right? We saw the Gemara in yesterday's daf that I could tell you I owe you money and then say Meshat Anibach. But once you make a kinyan, I can't say Meshat Anibach anymore. Because what I'm telling you is that this is real. I'm telling you is that this is real. I'm not just saying it. There's a certain seriousness to it. And that's all the kinyan does. So there's a concept of a kinyan that's really not affecting a transfer of bailus. What it's doing is it's just creating a certain level of seriousness, of sincerity to the conversation that's at hand. It's a fascinating idea. The Rambam talks about in Hilchas Mechira Perikei, Halach Yudav. Listen to the Lashon HaRambam. Yesh dvarim harbe she'ein tzrichin kinyan. There are many things that don't require a kinyan. The only kinyan b'hem tam. And if you do a kinyan, it really accomplishes nothing. Keep going. Ha'meshachar avdoi, ha'ya megarish es ishtoi, oi ha'oyser shliach, oi ha'moyser moida, oi ha'mevatel moida, oi ha'moychal lechaveroi, oi pekodin sheyesh lebiyadoi. V'chel kayoitze bedvarim elu, or something similar to that, and I think we can add to that this case. Or if someone's moita, that he owes money to somebody, that type of transaction, says the Rambam, ain't tzrich and kinyan, it doesn't require a kinyan. The ain likinya bem tam. Right, if you want to be moichel somebody, somebody owes you money, machalach, 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 you have to make a kinyan. So says the Rambam, you don't need to make a kinyan. If you make a kinyan, ain the kinyan t. It continues, Rambam, aloch yudbeis, nagu reva mekoimois, lahatnois, lemixas elu advarim yaitzuvahem. He says, stating that, I found in many communities, in many kehilas, they do some of the aforementioned things. They're appointing a shliach, they're being moitzu moida, they're being moichel, oidisa, and they'll make a kinyan. Va'oimrim, and they even say language, v'kinyonoi mi pleini sha'asa pleini shliach, oisha machal pleini chayv sheyesh layetzloi, oisha bital ha'moida, va'afal pisha ein etzarech, says the Rambam, even though they don't have to do it. And then the Rambam continues, halacha yudgim, he's making sure you get this. Kinyan zeshe nagu lahaknes be'elu advarim, einoi moil klub. So why is he doing it? He's doing it so that you should know that this that he just said is not kimesachik umahatel elishagomar beliboy va'achakachomar. He's just doing it to be mafkia that this isn't dvarim shabalev, or this is not mishat anibach. And then he says it again, halach yudav. So it's four halachas in the Rambam. Four halachas in succession. It's Hilchos Mechira Perikei Halach Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, where the Rambam says that I've observed in Kehilas different kinyanim that people make for certain transactions. There's really no point. A kinyan does one thing. The yisoid of a kinyan is it's a transaction. You want to take something and take it from Reuven's Rishos to Shimon's Rishos, mach a kinyan. That's the yisoid of a kinyan. But you appoint a shliach with a kinyan, you moichel someone with a kinyan, he does baldin with a kinyan, there's no point. What is it? It's like the Rambam says, Lohidia she'ena yoy medvarim elu kimesach. It's to be mafkia that this is not just the mishat anibach. This is not just adam asu shalay lahasbi es atzma. This is a real type of idol. It's a real minu shlichas. When does every single Jew do this? When do we do this? When we sell chametz. Mechiras chametz. When you sell chametz to your rav, so you make the kinyan, you pick up a yarmulke. I don't know if you know what you're doing. Up, down, down, left. I'm makna to you. You're being makna to me. Really, all you're doing is you're appointing the rav as a shliach to sell your chametz for you. So it's often a halach in Rambam. The Rambam, when he gives examples of dvarim she'en tzrichen kinyan, ve'en l'kinyan b'am tam, is oy ha'oyz a shliach. It's one of the Rambam's examples. So if somebody makes a shliach, there's no point to making a kinyan. So that whole chalipin that you're doing really is a chuk of a tlula. There's no point in it. What is the rationale behind this? So the Rambam says is a rationale. The rationale is that you're showing that you're serious about it. This is not just mashachta. You can't tell the Rav, just kidding, I didn't really make you a shliach. No, once you made a kinyan, it shows a certain eretzkeit. It's not a mashachta anibach. But really, from a kinyan perspective, there's nothing going on. So if you didn't make the kinyan properly, I don't think it's a big deal. Because really, there is no kinyan going on. As long as in your mind, you had in mind to appoint him as a shliach, there's absolutely nothing to worry about. When we learned Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we spoke out from the Shaar Metzion and Balacha, he says that he thinks that the reason the Minhag Yisrael today is to make a kinyan when you sell your chametz, is because once upon a time, they used to do it differently. Once upon a time, you would sell your chametz to the Rav, and the Rav would sell the chametz to the guy. So you weren't making the Rav a shliach to sell your chametz. You were actually selling it to the Rav. The Rav would then, in a second transaction, go and he would sell it to the guy. If you're selling it to the Rav, so now you have to make a kinyan. The Rav can't be koine without a kinyan. So the kinyan was important. You had to make sure it was a real chalipin. You had to make sure you were doing it properly. He says, but today it's not what we do. Today we're not selling it to the Rav. Today the Rav is just being granted power of attorney. You're appointing him a shliach so that he should be able to turn around and sell it on your behalf. It's a minu shlichos. It's like our sugya right here. There's really no point in the kinyan. Zok t'gemar v'ayt t'tan rabbanon. Amalem echad. Somebody goes over to somebody else and he tells him, you know, I saw your father, shehit min mois, b'shida tevu amigdal. I saw him hide money, takes him to a forest. He shows him exactly where the money is. He says, but there's one caveat. When he was hiding the money, Va'amar, he said, shall ploinie, that's not really his. Whose? The mine. No, he said it belongs to somebody else. Or shall maisesheni. He said it shall maisesheni. Says the Gemara. Is this person believed or is he not believed? So someone goes over to Yisayimim, let's say, and he tells them, you know, your father, he left the Yerusha, you don't know about it. It's hidden in a forest somewhere. They take shovels, they dig it up, and lo and behold, he was right. But then he adds a caveat. He said, your father said clearly it's not his money. It doesn't belong to you. It was his, but it's Ma'aseh Sheni. You won't be able to benefit from it. You'll have to take it up to Yerushalayim. It's a very big deal. Says the Gemara, Loy Omar Abibayis, if the money was in the house of the Meis, Loy Omar Klum, then we don't believe the second part of what he said. B'sode Dvarav Kayamim. What's the point? If he could have taken it, he's believed with a migu. It's what we know as a biyadai. He's believed with a migu, and therefore the halachas he'd be believed. But if it was in a situation where he couldn't have taken it, why couldn't he have taken it? Because it's in the other person's house. Over there, layomar klum. Another halacha. If kids see their fathers hiding money, and the father says, kids, don't get so excited. Says the Gemara, if he looks like he's telling it to them like with a seriousness, then we believe it. I mean, if the father dies afterwards, they have no choice. But they have to treat this with Kedushas Ma'aseh Sheni. If, however, it looks like maybe he wasn't being so serious, lo yomar klum. Why then would he have said it? So there's a nice Rashi. One of two reasons. Either Shumis Yorish La Yutla Mikhaev, he doesn't want them to take it while he's still alive, meaning he's more than happy for them to have it, Duchindit and Svansik. But right now he's alive, he wants the money for himself. Oi, Shalayach Siku Kasha. He doesn't want his kids to think he's rich. Lahisa Valitsiyasim, because his credit card bills are just going to go up month after month. Last thing he needs is for his kids to think that the father's a Gvir. So he tells them, no, it's not mine, it's all my Sashani. No, Duchindit and Svansik, they're going to have to pay the credit card bills. So they can do whatever they want. But right now, it's his headache. So right now he wants, either way, the Gemara says that you have to look at the context. It looks like he's being a meiser. He's telling it to him with a certain seriousness. Dvarav kayomim, v'im kemarim lay omar klum. And the third example that this brisa gives, and this is by far the most well-known. If somebody was concerned, he knows that his father left him money, but he can't find it. Like, under which mattress is it? Ubab balachaloyim, the balachaloyim came, v'omalei, and he told him, kach v'kachem. This is how much money your father left you. This is where they are. But FYI, this is Moyes Maisa Sheni. This was a real story. And the Chachamim Paskin, Divrei Chaloy Mois, Loy Maylev Loy Meriden. What does it mean? Divrei Chaloy Mois, Loy Maylev Loy Meriden? You don't trust the dream to tell you that it was Maisa Sheni. You found the money. You can keep it. Puzzle solved. You now found the money that you've been trying to find. The same dream that told you where the money was, told you that it was from Ma'aseh Sheni. It doesn't matter, because Divrei Chaloy Mois, Loy Ma'ayin Loy Meriden. If you take a look at Reb Kiveger in Gilyan Hashas, he says, Ayin Tshuvas Tashbats Chelik Bei Simen Kuf Chav Ches. So we've spoken out this Tashbats before. As a matter of fact, we have a raid bite, angel of dreams, on this Tashbats. And just bekitzer, because this is the Gemara. So throughout Shas, this Tashbats always takes you to Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So for learning Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, we have to speak it out, at least bekitzer. And that is, Tashbats asked the Kasha, that the Gemara over here says, Divrei Chaloy Mois, Loy Mayim Avaloy Merida. And it's in other places as well. It's in many places in Shas. You find this idea that you can't trust what you hear in a dream. And really, this Gemara is even a bigger chiddush, because even though the dream had a lot of very accurate information, it doesn't matter. Still, you don't have to assume that everything is accurate. And with regards to the halacha, we don't assume that the peiros are peiros Ma'aseh Sheni, despite the fact that you were told that it was Ma'aseh Sheni. Tashbats asked from many Gemaras in Chas, specifically the Darim Daf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there says, Omalei Rav Ach L'Rav Ash Shamtei V'Shor Li B'Chal Mamai. If somebody has a dream, and in his dream he was put in Cherem, and then afterwards they were Mater the Cherem. So he was put in Cherem, and they were Mater the Cherem in the same dream. My, what's the halacha? Meaning, he wakes up in the morning, he's a Cherem? Or maybe, number one, it was in a dream. Number two, even if he was put in Cherem, they were mad to the Cherem. Amalesi told him, Shem Shi'ef Shal Babalo Kevin, Kach Yef Shal Chaloyim Beloy Dvar Mateva. You have to be Chayesh for the Cherem, but at the same time, you have to assume that maybe there is some Shtusim in the dream, and it's for that reason, what's the halacha going to be? You're in Cherem, and if you want to be Matre, you have to figure out where to be Matre. So if a person was put into Nidui, into Shamt, into Cherem in a dream, it's real. The Ran over here brings the famous Chuvas HaRajbo. The same would be true if somebody makes a Neder B'chaloyim. Somebody has a dream, and in his dream, he makes a Neder. He promises he's going to do something. Shvu a neder. He wakes up in the morning. He has to observe the neder. It's based on this gemara. Nidui bechaloyim, neder bechaloyim. It's something very real. Freak the tashbits. Why is it different than our gemara? In our gemara, a person had a dream that the money, that the payers were payers Ma'aseh Sheni. he didn't have to worry about it. Because divin chaloimus, loy ma'ilav loy meridin. And over here a person had a dream, and in the dream he made a neder, in the dream he was put into nidui, and he does have to worry about it. Why? Because it's real. He had a dream. It could be these elements of shtusim, but the bottom line is that you have to take the nidui seriously. You'd have to take the neder seriously. So why are we not concerned when it comes to the peiris ma'aser sheni, and why are we concerned when it comes to the nidui, when it comes to the shamta? Tashbis asked from Yosef Atzadik, Parshas Mikes, you see there's some validity to dreams. The Gemara in the beginning of Perek, Haraya, Bai Verava, they used to have the same dream. Bai Verava, their fates were so intertwined. The Gemara says they used to even dream the same dreams. They went to Bar Hedya, one used to pay him, and used to, right? But the bottom line is that there's so many Gemaras and Shas that talk about dreams. But from a halachic perspective, Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Amud Aleph would seem that if something with a halachic implication happens in a dream, you don't have to worry about it. And the Dharm Dazayin Amud Aleph would seem to suggest you do have to worry about it. So first the Tashbit says that maybe the chilik is, if you had the dream, or if somebody else had the dream about you, he tries to be madchik that, he tries to make that work. Your own dream, maybe you have to take seriously. If somebody else dreams something about you, and he tells you about it the next day, maybe that you don't have to take seriously, but he can't make that work. So it says, Tashbis, I'm going to tell you the teretz, and it's based on a Gemara, Masechtas, Brachis, Daf Nun Hei Amid Beis. The Gemara over there says, Shmuel, Ki Havi Chazi Chelma Bisha. When Shmuel would have a bad dream, he would have a scary dream, he would have a nightmare. Omar, he would wake up, he would quote a pasuk in Zechariah Perek Yud, V'chaloymais hashav yedabero. Dreams are shtosim, they're all ridiculous. He would have a good dream. Omar, he would say, Belosh bitmiya. V'chaloymais hashav yedabero. A dream is shtosim, oh, it's such a good dream. Of course, dreams have a lot of truth to it. Says the Gemara, then he would, That was what Shmuel used to do. But the Gemara says that on that note of dreams, Rava Rami, Rava asked the Stira. Ksiv, it says, B'chalim Adabibay. Parshas Baloischa, when Hashem compares and contrasts between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and Shara Nevi'im, so the Pasuk says that Shara Nevi'im Hashem used to communicate to how? Through dreams. B'chaloi madabra boy. So Rav asked the Stira, ay v'chaloi mesashav yidabeiru. Which one is it? A'chaloi meshtosim. Yeah, Shmuel sometimes, when he had a good dream, he wanted to spin it in a positive light. So he would say, it belosh bitmiya. But really, that's not what the pasuk means. It's a pasuk that says, v'chaloi mesashav yidabeiru. So is, b'chaloi madabra boy, do peace people communicate to Hashem? Do you have nevuah through dreams? Or to the contrary, is it v'chaloi mesashav yidabeiru? So Rava answered, Leikasha, kan al yedei malach, kan al yedei shei. It depends on how the dream came. Who delivered the message? Did the malach deliver the message? That's v'chaloi madabra boy. Did a shade deliver the message? That's v'chaloi mesashav yidabeiru. Said the Tashbit, you see over here, and this is a brisket Tashbit. There's two dinim in dreams. There's a dream that comes aydei malach. There's a dream that comes aydei shei. Loi kasher, Rav Yisrael. Kan aydei malach, kan aydei shei. When it's aydei malach, it's b'chalim adarabai. When it's aydei shei, it's b'chalim eshashav yidabeir. So you have to know. If your dream came aydei malach, then it's a real dream. There may be something very serious going on over there. By the way, who's the malach of the dreams? The malach Gavriel. So if it came from the malach Gavriel, this could be very serious. If it came aydei shei, then it's nothing. So the Tashbit said that from a halachic standpoint, every single time a person has a dream, which has halachic implications, so you know how he has to look at it? He has to look at it as a suffix. Right now, he has a suffix whether what was communicated to him is real or was not real. If it came out of the Malach Gavriel, it's real. If it came out of the Shin Dalid, then it's not real. So you have to pull out the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Tzveikis, and you have to know exactly how to analyze the situation. So you said, Nidar Davches, where a person had a dream, and in a dream he was put into Nidui, a person made a Nidar in a dream. So what are you going to do now if you have a Safik Nidui? You have to go to Chumrah. What are you going to do if you have Safik Nidarim? You're going to have to go to Chumrah. So it's very easy why you wake up in the morning and you have to go be Materit. Because you have a Safik now, you might be a Nidui, you have a Safik, you might have made a Ned. But in our Gemara, Sanhedrin Daf Lamed, where you have money and you're a Muchsik in the money, this is what the Tashbit says, and you have a suffix now whether there's a din maisa sheni. It's suffix moment where hamaytzim echaveri, all of a raya, so to speak. You're the muchzik in the money right now. Someone will have to prove to you that it's maisa sheni. Otherwise, you could do with it whatever you want to do with it. So, me suffix, you're allowed to keep it. That's the Tashbits that Rabbi Kivega wants you to see on this Gemara, because you have a Gemara over here again that says that dreams have no impact in halacha, because different chaloyim is lemayim v'lemirid, and the Tashbits not so simple. It's really a suffix whether the dream can impact halacha, and what you need to do with every dream is you have to assess it within the general scope of Hilchos Sfeikas. If this was a regular suffix, how would I view it? That's the way you view the dream. What's the suffix? Was it al yidei malach? Is it b'chaloyim adarabai? Was it al yidei shade? Is it b'chaloyim ashav yidaberu? And that's the way he goes and reconciles all the different sugyas ashas, primarily Sanhedrin daf lamed and the Dorim daf ches. Either way, zok the Gemara vayter. But from the Gemara, it sounds like there's two different sarim. It could be. Meaning, the sar, there's, there is. Someone delivers the dream. Right. The question is, who's delivering the dream? Is the dream being delivered? Either way, so the Gemara said that Shnayim Oimim Zakai, Vechod Oimim Chayiv Zakai. Shnayim Oimim Chayiv, Ve'ekachod Oimim Zakai, Chayiv. That was the halacha. So, the Gemara, Michtav Heichi Kosvi. When it came time to write the psak of Bezdin, so Bezdin would transcribe, they had their stenographers, they would transcribe everything. So, of course, they would transcribe the psak halacha. How would they write it? What's the shayla? The shayla is where not all the dayanim unanimously agreed to the verdict, but it was a didi momentus v'shloisha, where two out of the three said one way. So, how would they write it? Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon, and said Zakai. They would just say Zakai. Who cares? Doesn't matter if two of them said Zakai or three of them said Zakai. If it's Zakai, it's Zakai. Shlokish Amr, Shlokish said, Pliny, Pliny, Mizakin, Pliny, Pliny, Mechayev. No, they would write clearly. If Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, they were the Dayanim, Reuven and Shimon said Zakai, Levi said Chayev. Rabbi Loza Amr, Midivreim, Nizdaka, Pliny, a third shot. What they would write is not Zakai. They also wouldn't mention the people by name. They would say that from amongst this Bezdin, we came out the Psak Halacha of Zakai. Says the Gemara, my Benayu, is there a Nafgim? The Gemara says it could be. Let's say this Bezdin made a mistake, and we're going to learn the halachas at the end of the week, where if a Bezdin makes a mistake, sometimes they have to pay out of pocket. Dina de garmi. They have to reimburse the person that they caused to lose money. So the dayan that got the psak right. So see, two out of three dayanim said Zakai, really the psak halacha was chayev. The one that said chayev, does he have to pay, does he have to contribute, or does he not have to contribute? Says the Gemara, could be a chapsin afkamina between what the lashon, what the text read in this ksav. Lemanda omar Zakai, the manda that says they used to write Zakai, Mishale. What does Zakai mean? All the dayanim are saying Zakai. Now, the truth is, it was only two of them. But the Lushin suggests that it was all three. Lamayin Afkimina, even that third Dayan that really got it right, he would have to contribute. The man plain to plain Mazakim, plain to plain Mechaim, the one that says, no, you write clearly, it wasn't all three. Two of them, or then over there, maybe Leimashan, he wouldn't have to pay. But the Gemara says it can't be. Laman Mazakim, Mashalim, is there a man in the world that holds that the one that got the Psak Halacha right still is going to have to contribute? Leimelu, why can't he tell him? He has a very obvious kaychataim. You should have said, you should have listened to me. Because had you listened to me, you wouldn't have to pay either. So it's posh. There's no way in the world that if a Bezdin makes a mistake, but one of the Dayanim and the Bezdin got it right. The only reason Bezdin didn't follow him is because they had to follow the Rav, that the one that got it right should have to pay. It's not possible. It doesn't matter if you're right. Zakai, it doesn't matter what you're right. Ella, the Gemara says maybe there's a different nafkimina, a similar nafkimina. The shlumu I inu mansa dide. The two dayanim, when they pay, do they pay two-thirds of the hefsid? Or do they have to pay 100% of the hefsid? Mandam azakai mishalmi. The one that said they wrote zakai, so these two dayanim would have to pay 100% of it. Mandam a plenu plenu mizakim, plenu plenu mechayvin. But the one that said you write plenu plenu mizakim, plenu mishalmi. No, they don't pay 100% of it. They only pay two-thirds of it. But the Gemara says, mandam azakim mishalmi. According to mandam that says zakai, they would have to pay all of it. The lame relay, they should be able to say, ilav at bahadon lehavi solik dina. Midi, meaning I didn't have control over 100% of this psak halacha. Really, we only control two-thirds of it. Why? Because we only make up two-thirds of the bezdin. So again, a koyach hatayna, why they shouldn't have to be responsible to pay 100% of it. So the Gemara says it's pashit, that's not going to be the nafkamina. Meaning, it sounds like the halacha always is that the dayanim that make the mistake, they're the ones that have to pay. And they have to pay pro rata, their shear, to whatever percentage of the bezdin they represent. So if the hefsid was $300, and it's a regular didi momentus b'shloisha, and really only two of the Dayanim were the ones that got it wrong. The reason we followed the two, because they were the majority of the Beis Din Shel Shlosha, they would have to pay $200. That's it. They would have to pay $200. There's no reason to make them pay the third $100. And there's certainly no reason to make the Dayan that got it right pay that third $100. So what then is the nafkamina l'alacha, whether you write Zakai or Pliny, It's a question more in Hilchas Lashon Hara. It's a question in Rechilos. Rabbi Yochanan Zakai Mishum Leisei L'Krochel. Rabbi Yochanan held, Leisei L'Krochel Bamecha, it's nobody's business which Dayan said Zakai, which Dayan said Chayiv. Rish Lakish Amir, Rish Lakish said Pliny, Pliny, Mezakai, Pliny, Pliny, Mechayivim. It's in the Mechzei Keshikra. He says, I hear the concern of Rechilos, but at the same time, you can't write something that's not emes. Certainly a Beis Din can't write something that's not emes. And it looks like what you're saying is not emes, because it looks like all the Dayanim unanimously agreed to the Psak Halacha, and we know that wasn't the case. Rabbi Loza, Islei Demar, he was concerned about what Rabbi Yochanan said. He didn't like the Rechilos of mentioning the Dayanim by name. He also was concerned with what Rish Lakish said. He didn't like just saying Zakai, because it sounds like everybody felt Zakai. Hilkoch. So he came up with an in-between. He came up with something that really covers all our bases. Midivreyem nizdaka ployni. Midivreyem nizdaka ployni, you're making it clear that not everybody agreed. It's just midivreyem. From the deliberations of the Dayanim, it came out that Pliny was Zakai, but you never said something Sheker. You never said that all the Dayanim said Zakai, and at the same time, you're not mentioning anybody by name. Just one more Ha'ara, and that is, so we have this idea of Leiselech Rochel Bamecha, right? The Gemara was sensitive not to mention which Dayan said Zakai, which Dayan said Chayiv, because the Gemara thought that there's an issue of Rechilos. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchas Deis, and he's discussing here the laws of Lashon Hara. So listen to the Rambam. The Rambam is Perek Zayin Halachah Hey. Echad ha-mesaper b'Lashon Hara b'fnei chaveroi o'ishaloi b'fanav. V'ha-mesaper dvarim. This is what we need. Shegurmin. If somebody says something that will cause im nishmu ishmi piyish lahazik chaveroi b'gufay u'memoinoi ha-reza Lashon Hara. If somebody says something that can cause somebody else pain, suffering, it could have a negative impact on that other person, it's considered Lashon Hara. So you didn't necessarily say something bad about the person. You didn't say, you heard what he did. That's not what you said. You said something, you made a statement, but the statement that you made can have a negative implication on somebody else. Says the Rambam, Hareza Lashon Hara. It falls under the purview of Lashon Hara, which Chafetz Chaim says, in this case means Rechilos. So it's Lashon Hara, it's Rechilos. If you say something that can negatively impact somebody else, says the Hagoyis Maimonides, where the Rambam get this halacha from? Says the Hagoyis Maimonides, I span Shas. And I found one Gemara where the Rambam got this from. The Gemara we just learned. Sanhedrin Perek Zeboira. Minayin, how do you know? L'dayin shlo yomer ani mezakeh v'chaveri mechayven. Tamadoy me leisei l'chrochel. He quotes our Gemara, which was really the Mishnah on Daf Chavtesam and Aleph, that it's nobody's business who or which dayin paskid in favor of and which dayin paskid against. Right, we had here the idea that you shouldn't write the names of the dayanim in this ksav because nobody's supposed to know. It's going to be considered rechilos. The Mishnah said it also. Right, how do you know a dayin that said Zakai shouldn't walk out and tell the dayanim, you know, I know Beis Din paskid against you, but you should know I'm the one that said Zakai. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. Why not? So you see that that's called rechilos. What's the element of rechilos? What did you say wrong? What did you say? You said that Chanyakul said Zakai, and somebody else, Moshe, said Chayef. That's Rechilos. Why is that Rechilos? The reason it's Rechilos is because it could come back to bite the other Dayan. Because when the Baal Din finds out that this Dayan passing against him, he may go after him, and it could potentially harm him. And if you say something, write something, that could potentially harm somebody else, that is considered Rechilos, it's Lashon Hara, and that says that Goyis Maimini is the Makar to this round, even though you're not saying something that's inherently bad. I didn't say anything bad, what did I say? Okay, it sounds like he's Choshev, he's a Dayan, he's a Bezin. He said Zakai, so what? He said something wrong? He didn't say anything wrong, but it could affect him, because the Baal Din, if he finds out which Dayan said Zakai, he may have Tyroimus on him, it could affect him later on in life. Anytime you say something that can affect somebody else, it's Leiselech Rochel Bamecha. That's what the Rambam means when he says, "I'm a sapir dvarim shagurmin im nishmo ishmi piyish lahazik chaver begufay b'mamaynay hareza lashon hara." I'll just tell you something very interesting, and that is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It's Perek Dal Mishnah Zayin. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oyomer, Bishmo Benoishal Rabbi Yossi said, "Hachoisech atzmi min adin." If somebody has an opportunity to be a dayan and he says, "I'm not interested in being a dayan. I don't want to pass in shaylas." Poirik mimenu. He's spearing himself of three things: eva, hatred; v'gezel; v'shvua shaf. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was saying that was when a person das paskins, he's making himself vulnerable to violate, commit three terrible things. Number one, gzela, shvua shaf. Why gzela? Because what if you get the psak wrong? Shvua shaf, you may cause somebody to swear in bezdin falsely. But not just that, eva, you're causing hatred. Because if you paskin, you're going to paskin not like a baldin. The baldin's going to come up to you. He's going to be upset. Who are your oimer? The next mishnah, al tehi don yechidi. That your person should never paskin by himself. Shein don yechidi ela echa. There's only one don yechidi. That's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Remember the Rishalmi. The Rishalmi says even Hashem has a heavenly tribunal. When does Hashem really paskin yechidi? It's the Rishalmi. It's only by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. But either way, so Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi continued and he said, "Hu ha ya'omer al tihi don yechidi she'ein don yechidi el echad." So I saw the Chidah in his Pirish on Pirkei Avos says that this Mishnah is behemshuch to the first Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel said that when a person paskins shailas, he's exposing himself to three things. He's exposing himself to hatred, gzeila, and shvua shav. It's for that reason, "Hu ha ya'omer," he used to say, "al tihi don yechidi." Why? Because if you're going to be a don yechidi, everyone's going to know who the dayan was. So everyone knows who the dayan was. They know who to hate, number one. Number two, as it relates to the gzeila and the shvua shav, you have to carry all the gzeila and all the shvua shav on your places. But if you're going to observe alti don yechidi, how are you going to paskin? You're going to paskin with a bezin shal gimel. If you're going to make sure that you have a bezin shal shloisha, number one, there's not going to be any eva. You know why there's not going to be eva? Because you could always say, "I'm not the... There was a... Bezel Shal Gimel, there was a Rav, it wasn't me, I ruled in your favor. You're not going to have Eva." And the Gezel and the Shvua Shav also. Because at least what you're doing is, remember we had the Gemara in the first parak, you're dividing the responsibility in three. Not just that, if you have three, you have a better chance of getting it right. Bottom line, this is all Behemshech. Who are you, Aymer? He used to say, because of the horrible things that could come about, I'll tell you one other fascinating thing on this note. And that is, Shmuel said, we had this so many times already. Shnayim Shadonu Dineim Din, Ela, Shenikru, what's it called? It's called the Bezen Chatzav. Why is it called the Bezen Chatzav? So Rashi says in Masechta Sanhedrin, it's a Bezen Chatzav because they went connected to Chacham. Chacham said three. So you're right, but the other two is good. But really, you're supposed to have three. The Shvus Yaakov brings from the Lekutei Maharil that the Lekutei Maharil said, you know why it's a Bezen Chatzav? Because if you have a Bezen Shal Gimel, and let's say they say Zakai, nobody knows which Dayanim said Zakai. If they say Chayim, no one knows which one said Chayim. It could be they all said, but it could be only the majority. And if it was only the majority, you don't know which two are the ones that said it. But if you're a Bezin Shal Shnayim, and you paskin Zakai, it means they both said Zakai. If you say Chayiv, it means they both said Chayiv, because otherwise you'd have a hung jury. So obviously they must have both paskin that way. If they both paskin that way, when you, the Dayan, walk out of Bezin, the Baldin knows what your psak was. It's an element of chutzpah. It's a chutzpah that you're comfortable looking the Baldin in the eye and saying that I ruled against your favor. I didn't rule like you. That's the Bezdin Chatzav. The Bezdin Chatzav is that you're okay with people knowing what you paskin. You're able to look the Baldin in the eye. An edel person wouldn't do that. There'd be a sensitivity not to be that way. That Shnayim Shadonu Dinei and Din is a Bezdin Chatzav. It's precisely for this reason. Now, it's not the Maril, it's the Lekutei Maril. Spoke about the Lekutei Maharil, right? Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Hakdama, or in his Haskama to the Maaser Rav, Rabbi Yosef Engel, was written by a Talmud Katan, he says, a Shamish Katan. Either way, Zokti Gemar Vaita. Gomru Esadavar, Hoyu Machnisen. So the Mishnah said at the end that before the Bezdin would issue the Gemar Din, they would bring everybody inside. It says in the world, who did they bring inside? Ilem the Balei Dinim. Did they bring the Balei Dinim inside? Hasam Kaimi? Balei Dinim never left. Elo the Eidim. It was the Eidim. So if you remember, they used to cross-examine the Eidim, but they cross-examined them individually. First, they would cross-examine the Gadol Shebehem, and then they would work their way down. So they cross-examined the Eidim one at a time, all in front of the Balei Dinim. Then the Bezdin, they would deliberate. They would do what they needed to do. When they were ready to issue the Gemara, then they would bring all the Eidim back into the room. Says the Gemara, the Leik Rab Nasa, L'chur, this halach is not like Rab Nasa. Tiny, we learned to the Braiso. La'ulam, ayin, edus, minst, tarefes, ach, yirush, neim, ke'echod. Eidus doesn't work unless the two Eidim witnessed at the same time. So if Reuven saw on Sunday, for example, that somebody lent somebody money, and then Shimon saw on Monday that that same person loaned the same person money, they can't come to Bezdin and be mitzdar. They would have to see what they're testifying about ke'echad at the same time. It's not true. Even if they didn't see it at the same time, it's still okay. Another halacha. Eidos doesn't work in Bezdin unless the two Eidim said Eidos at the same time. Meaning the Eidim need to testify, not literally at the same time, but at least toich kidei dibor. Rav Nosson says, Shemin dvarav shalzeh hayoyim, ukishayoveh chaver lemachar. Shemin is dvarav. No, you don't have to testify at the same time. You could testify on Sunday. The other person could come, and he could testify on Monday. Says the Gemara, you know why they would bring the Eidim back in before the Gemara Din? Presumably because they wanted the two Eidim to testify again at the same time. Because maybe when they testified originally, they didn't testify at the same time. But we need them to testify at the same time, because that's Rav Nosson's halacha. That's the Chachamim's halacha. So you know why we're bringing them back in? Because in the being that the original testimony wasn't done at the same time, they were cross-examined individually. So now we need them to come in to say Eidos Bevazachas. But the Gemara says, if that's Pshat in the Mishnah, then it's like Rav Nosson. Because what did Rav Nosson say? Shoymim dvarav shalzeh hayoyim, ukishayoveh chamer lemachar, shoymim esvar. But the Gemara says, lo, you have no raya. Could be the Eidim are not the ones that are being brought back in. You don't have to bring the Eidim back in. Each Eid testified individually. There's nothing wrong with the Eidos that was testified in the Olam Lebali Dinim. It's the Bali Dinim that are being brought back in. Didn't we say the Bali Dinim are always there? If they never left, why are you bringing them back in? From Nechemiah, the Tanya, Nechemiah, Oymer, Kachay, Menogash, Al Nikiyah, Dasha, Birushalayim, Machnisim, the Bali Dinim, they would bring the Bali Dinim in, Vashoyim, and Devrim, they would hear what the Bali Dinim have to say. Umachnisim, as Eidim, they bring the Eidim in, Vashoyim, and Devrim. Umaitzeh, Noisim, Lachotz, they would send everybody out, even the Bali Dinim they would send out, the Noisim, and Noisim, the Dover, they would handle, and then Gomru, as a Dover, Machnisim, Noisim, they would bring them back in. So who's Machnis and Oisei? Right before the Gemara Din Bezdin. 1 second, we need to call people back in. Who are they bringing back in? Two Pshatim in the Gemara. Either they're bringing the Eidim back in. Why would they bring the Eidim back in? Because according to the Chachamim, Eidim need to say Eidim at the same time. When they testified originally, they weren't testifying at the same time. They were being cross-examined individually. Now we need them to say, Ahagotas Eidos Bevas Achas, to be Mekayim the Halach of Ein Eidusim Eskayemes Bebezdin, Ad She Yoidu Shneim Ke'echot. Alternatively, who are they bringing back in? Not the Eidim. Why wouldn't they bring the Eidim in? Because you don't need the Eidim to testify at the same time. Like Rav Nosson said, rather, who they're bringing back in is the Baal Eidim. But the Gemara says, Vatanya, I hear in the Mishnah you can learn it two ways. But there's a braisa that says, Gomru es hadavar machnisen es ha'edim. It says clearly, right before the Gemara Din, they would bring the Eidim back in. Why they're bringing the Eidim back in must be because they need to testify at the same time. So you have a riot from the Braisa, like not like Rav Nosson. The Gemara says, true. I hear the like Rav Nosson. You're right. You have a riot from the Braisa, not like Rav Nosson. You don't have a riot from the Mishnah, not like Rav Nosson. Goof. So we had over here two machloikesen, two interesting machloikesen that the Gemara is going to digress with all the way into the Aflamet Al. So the Gemara had one machloikes, Rav Shua ben Karka the Chachamim. Two Eidim walking to Bezdin that testifying the same thing. Ruvein Oshim Imani. How did they know Ruvein Oshim Imani? He saw something happen on Sunday. He saw something happen on Monday. Between the two, you have two Eidim that both saw Ruvein Oshim Imani. Is it okay or is it not? The Chachamim say that, no, it's not okay. They would have to witness what they're testifying at the same time. Reb Shua ben Karcha argued. Reb Shua ben Karcha said, no. Afilu bezacharzeh. The second machlokes was when Eidim walk into Bezdin and they say Eidos, not the Re'iyah, but the Haggadah. Do they have to testify at the same time, or do they not have to testify at the same time? The Chachamim say they have to testify at the same time. Rav Nosson said, Shoymim dvarav shazeh hayoyim, ukishayoveh chaver lamacha, shoymim es dvarav. So we got into it because we thought the Mishnah was not like Rav Nosson. So b'derech agav, the Gemara is going to drill down on this machlokes. Gufa, lo ilum ein edus, Mr. Efesach, yirush, name ke'echad, Rav Shum, and Karcha, imra, afilu b'zachazeh, p'maikim, if you want this machlokes, if the Eidim have to see Eidos at the same time or not. Iba yisei makrav, iba yisei misfar. It could be they're arguing in how to read a pasuk. Could be they're arguing in svar. Iba yisei misfar. What's the svar? Amana de komasid hai, loyka masid hai. Umana de komasid hai, loyka masid hai. It could be the shaila is lamaisa when one person saw something happen on Sunday and one person saw something happen on Monday. Two separate loans, for example, so they're testifying about two different things. You're testifying $100. You're testifying $100, but it's not the same $100. So being that it's not the same $100, it's not the same Eidos. So there's an Eid Echad on this $100, there's an Eid Echad on that $100. But you don't have two Eidim on $100. V'idach, what does Rav Shua ben Karcha hold? He says it's not a problem. At the end of the day, they're both saying Eidos about $100. So we're going to have to see more about this tomorrow. But for now, what the Gemara is saying is really a lamdish shaila. When two Eidim say Eidos on Dine Mominus, are they testifying about what happened? Or are they just testifying about the bottom line, the intish d'shira, tachlis, how much money does he owe? Does the process, how we get here, matter? Or who really cares? The Chachamim seem to say, we care about how you got there. You're saying you saw a loan on Sunday. You're saying you saw a loan on Monday. It's not the same loan. It's true you're both testifying that he owes $100. But it's two different loans. There's an Eidachar on this loan. There's an Eidachar on that loan. There's no way to be mitzvah of that. Rabbi Shua Bar Karacha says that Eidim by Dinei Mamonos is not never testifying on the loan. Who cares about the loan? You know what they're testifying? They're saying, I know he owes him $100. And two people walked into Bezin and both said, they know he owes him $100. How did they get there? Two different ways. One loan, another loan, who cares? At the end of the day, they're both testifying the same thing, because the only thing Bezin hears, the only thing they really care about at the end of the day, at the end of the day, their diligence will require them to understand how we got there. But push comes to shove, the only thing that really matters is the bottom line. And they're both saying Eidos about the bottom line. So it could be the Gemara says it's a svar, it's a real lumnus, a chakira. Eidos on Dinei Mominus. He's saying Eidos on the Maisa, on how we got there? Or does that not really matter? It's important for Bezdin to do their due diligence. But what really matters is the bottom line. Ibai is saying, the Gemara says, it could be the Shaila is how to read a pasuk. The Chsiv, it says, V'hu eid, oira, oyod. Tanya, mimash v'shenem al yokum eid echod, in eidea, shu echod, ma talmud, loy mar echod. It says, an eid echod can't say eidos v'dinei mamonos. This is a Gemara that's quoted in many places in Shas. The Gemara says, why does that say an eid echad? It seems to be redundant. Let it say eid. Eid is in the singular. And once it says eid, I know the eid is echad. So ma talmud loymar echad zebono of. It's coming to teach me that komokam shenemar eid harikan shnai. Now wherever it says eid, it really means two. Actually, yipar lucha akos of echad. Therefore, if we would have said layakum eid, I would think two eid. Echad is one. Meaning eid you always think of as being in the singular. Thus it's an eid echad. No, it's not really the way it is. Eid echad or eid really means two. It's only eid echad that means one. Now, if that's the case, says the Gemara, why does the Torah use the word eid singular to describe two eidim? To teach me that the two eidim have to work in unison. They have to be a unit. Being that they have to be a unit, they have to see it together, and it's only then that it's going to be an eidos. Says the Gemara of Idach, the other man that holds, it's true, it says eid singular, which it seemed to suggest that they have to see it at the same time. But the Torah also says, Aira, Ayada. You know what Aira, Ayada sounds like? It doesn't matter how they got to it. As long as they know he owes them $100, that's enough. So it could be they're not arguing in Lumdis as much as they're actually arguing in how to read the Pasuk. The second machloikis was, the Enei Dusa Miskayamis Bebezin, Achia Idush Name Kechad. One of the three people that swear shvua deraisa is when you tell somebody he owes you money and you have an eid echad. But an eid echad can't be mechayiv mam. So the Chachamim held that if two people would walk in individually and say, I know Reuven owes Shimon money, you know what you really have? You have two people being Mechayev Shua. How do you create a regular Chiyav Mamon? V'idach, Rav Nosson holds, if two Eidachas walk in the bed, are they talking out of the same mouth? Now, of course not. They can't. They're two different people. Elamai, you're mitstarif the two eduses of the Eidachon, and you create an edus of two edim. Hachanami letzarfino. So could be they're arguing again in Svar, everybody say Makro, could be they're arguing more in Lamdis, in Layagid, the Nosa Avoyne. The Torah compares, the Torah is makish, the Re'iyah of the edim to the Haggadah of the edim. With the Kuliyam, it could be both Rab Nosin and the Chachamim hold, like the Rabban and the Pligel Ed, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. They hold like the Rabban who argued with Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. They held that the Edom have to see it, Pavasachas. Being that the Edom have to see it, Pavasachas, and we have a hekish between the Haggadah and the Rio. So the Hach over here, Bakushe, Haggadah, the Rio, Kumifli. Could be the Machlekes over here was, could we be Makish? Haggadah l'ri'iyah, marsava makshin haggadah l'ri'iyah, marsava l'makshinan haggadah l'ri'iyah. The Chachamim hold that just like you have to see b'vasachas, so too the haggadah has to be b'vasachas, whereas Rav Nosson held that even though the ri'iyah has to be b'vasachas, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the haggadah has to be b'vasachas. One last Gemara, Rav Shimon ben al-Yakim have a mishtakel led Rav Yisrael b'chanina l'mismechei. Rav Shimon ben al-Yakim was trying to get Rav Yisrael b'chanina to give him smicha. Problem is, Rabbi Yosef Chanin himself wasn't a musmech, so he was having a hard time. Says the Gemara, He was finding it very challenging. One day they were all sitting in front of Rabbi Yechanan. Amalu, Rabbi Yechanan said, "Mi ikud yad alach Rav Shuv ben Karcha? Does anyone know if the alach is like Rav Shuv ben Karcha or not?" Amalu, Rav Shuv ben Yaakim. So Rav Shuv ben Yaakim said, "Din yad." This person, Reis Mechanina, knows. Amale. So he told him, "Emil easy. Tell me." Amale, listen, Mechem Abareish. So Rabbi Yechanan, give him smicha first. You give him smicha, then he'll tell you. Samche. Amale, said, "Bni Emerly, Ketsa Chamata. Tell me. How do you know this halacha, or what do you know? You claim to have information about the halacha being like Rabbi Shua ben Karcha." Amalei told him, "Kach shamati, I'll tell you what I heard. Shemoyde Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha says that the Edom don't have to see at the same time. Agrees to Rabbi Nassim that the Edom don't have to testify at the same time. Amar, so Rabbi said, "Lazeu trachti. This is what I needed you for." First of all, that wasn't the shaila. The shaila was, is the halacha of Rabbi Shua ben Karcha? What he said was, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha holds like Rabbi Nassim. And he said, but besides, everyone knows that. Hashta, madach, umayikuri about the adadi, Rabbi Shua ben Karcha lebi inon, hagada, me baya. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha holds the riyah doesn't have to be vasachas. The main thing is seeing. If you don't have to see at the same time, certainly you don't have to testify at the same time. Amalei, but he said, once I gave you smicha, I can't take away the smicha. Am Rab Zeir Shmami, no. You see from here, Gavra Rabba, even the Samech Samech. Gavra Rabba, once you get smicha, the smicha is a good smicha. This Gemara is very tricky to understand. So maybe we'll pick up on this note tomorrow.